Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days of Our Lives and Friends. Tonight we will be interviewing former Days of Our Lives star Teo Pangloss. Teo was nominated for Lead Actor Daytime Emmy for his portrayal of identical cousins Tony and Andre DeMera. Teo is also known for his role as Nicholas Black in the remake of Mission Impossible TV series. Mission Impossible episodes are now available on DVD. Hi Teo, how are you doing tonight?
Well, hello. Good evening to everybody.
And hello.
Sure.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Has everybody had dinner?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
You
oh,
are,
yeah.
You
mm-hmm. know, that's the trouble. With being
it's your dinner time, huh?
Right at my dinner, but listen, we sacrifice so much in our lives, don't we?
Just for us, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just for you. Mm-hmm. It's all
we're
wonderful.
Happy you're here.
Yes. Well, it's been a while since I've done this, so you got me at an interesting time. So it's all part of the evolvement from Days and into other things, even
mm-hmm.
though I love Days well, and my experiences with so many of the actors were great. On the occasion, a good director and my producers, who I like. But I miss some of the actors, especially... Lauren played Kate and Leanne, who I see, but certain actors and even the Celeste characters coming back, I miss playing with them. Because you always got the feeling when you worked with them that you were about to get laid. I don't know why, but it was that kind of provocation. And that we always enjoyed because it was dangerous. Are you okay? Did I say something wrong?
No. Absolutely not.
Oh. So do you have any questions?
Well, since whenever we interview, I always ask you what you're drinking tonight and what you're wearing.
And what you're wearing.
You make me an alcoholic. no, it's funny. When every time I've done interviews like this, I always have a cocktail. I don't know why. I think I'm having some party with a group of women I can't see, but they are in my imagination. So tonight it's tequila on the rocks with a nice twist of lime.
Ooh, sounds good. And you're in our imaginations, too.
Yes. In your imagination.
So why don't you tell everybody what you've been up to since you've been, or some of the things you've been doing?
Well, I'm developing three projects, and then I've got the book, I didn't realize it was going to take me this long, and what I wrote, what I started 2 years ago, and I go back over it now, I feel like I've become a better writer because of having fleshed out so much of my memory onto paper and the journeys I had taken in the last 20 years and how they changed my life and how they always fulfilled my character on days when... on a daily occurrence, or would get mundane if I didn't have had those experiences. And so I come back full, and I put it into the character, and that's why I enjoyed playing him, because I had all that to work with and all that I'd experienced. So I've written 24 short stories. Some with the photographs are about 18 pages long. Others are just 6 pages, but... it's amazing, sitting in front of a computer writing stories of journeys, and then you realize while you're going, you're writing them, that you're actually going through them again, except you're traveling in your mind, and it's an experience I've never really had before, and so it's helped me sustain myself while I'm waiting for the development of the other things.
Oh, very good.
And I also,
no,
you know...
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and then I did a cameo in a Greek film recently, and that was a first. You know, they usually cast Mexicans as Greeks these days, so it was nice to play something of my own heritage. Even though it was a cameo, I still enjoyed it. It was a good cast and directed by a Russian and dealt with a man who came to this country penniless and became a billionaire. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you tell us the name of it?
The name of it is, I know they changed it, but it's called The Green Story.
The Green Story, okay.
Because the products he created were safe for the environment, and so that's why it's called green. So that's why it's called The Green Story. But I had my sister's husband died of dementia just before Christmas, so that kind of shifted things. It's amazing. So many of my friends these days are talking about health and who's going to sustain mm-hmm. the longest, and whereas when you were younger, you never thought about those things. But when your parents go, it's sort of in the front line, and so, you know, it's life. It's what we're discussing these days. It's what happens mm-hmm. when you get older. But it's nice to have a party on the telephone. Does anybody have any questions?
And I think, do we have callers? Or?
Well, yeah, we have several callers.
Or do you guys have a question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, do you have a question? If not, I'll go
I have a quick one. May not be quick. Maybe really long, which is great. I was just curious, too, like, what do you do to relax? And I mean that seriously. I'm not trying to be a hoochie.
No. And my mind wasn't either. But
although it could be a hoochie. It could be a hoochie question.
I meditate every morning for 35 minutes before I get out of bed and set my day. And I found over the years it's health-wise, too. It's excellent for your blood pressure. And in many ways, it's a wonderful place to see things a lot more clearly than racing through them. So I do that. Exercising is also, even though it creates, you need, at this stage of my life, it gets harder, but I am very diligent about it because I play the music I like and it takes me somewhere, so I don't just feel it's exercise. And to relax, I sit out in my yard in the back in a hammock, and I read there. And then, I always sage my house, and that always gives me the feeling that whatever energies have been left behind by others are gone. So that kind of relaxes the atmosphere that I'm in, and I do that once a week.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate that.
Let me bring on Madeline. Hey, Madeline.
Hi.
Hey, Madeline.
Hello.
Hi, Gail.
Hi. How are you?
I'm starting a 3-day weekend, so I'm happy.
Oh, that's nice. Why? Is it a holiday on Monday?
Monday is Martin Luther King's birthday, yes. So most people don't get off, I suppose. But
yeah, I got off. It's a 3-day weekend for
system.
Me.
Well, you work for the bank, so.
And I work for the bank, yeah. So I'm off, too. So.
Yes. Is anybody doing anything exciting, or is it just routine?
Routine. It's a day off of work. So that was exciting.
An adventure. Did you have fun adventures? Where do you live?
My adventure is sitting in front of a computer doing report cards, which are due on Monday, Tuesday.
He's a teacher.
So have your adventure in the evening.
Yes. Yes, I will. Hopefully I'll have an adventure in the afternoon and go to the beach.
Yeah, because, you know, it's great to be out in the light because that's where you expand out of yourself and look elsewhere. But at night, you know, because there's no light except for what we switch on, things become more internalized.
Hmm.
And
well,
so,
and it's a great lot by me, so I need to go down to the beach and get a little light and sun.
Yeah. So how is
there
it?
There you go.
How is it over there?
It's kind of cool where I live. I live up the side of Mauna Kea a little bit, so it's kind of cool. but other not raining quite as much as before Christmas.
You always do those lovely videos.
Yes, thank you.
they're fun, actually, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I always share them to my enemies, and they get upset. they always look like we're having fun, even the drama.
Oh, yes. Well, it is fun. That's
fun. Of course. So, are you ever coming to L.A.?
Oh, yes. My family still lives in L.A., so maybe this summer.
Yes, well, I don't know about L.A. I don't know why people are attracted to L.A.
I still enjoy coming, because I get to come back
to visit.
I'm sure that's part of it. But I still enjoy going to L.A. There's things I miss about L.A. I miss concerts. I miss...
No, it would be New York for concerts than L.A. I mean, we do have big concerts, but I don't know how people can stand all those crowds and all that noise.
Yeah.
You see them on stage, and so I'd rather watch concerts on television.
Well,
or go to New York in the theater or something like that, but I don't like those huge crowds because everything's diminished and it's loud and it's...
Yeah.
I always find it, and the getting there and the getting out. Anyway, so anything else exciting?
Oh.
I feel like I'm in church.
We're awfully boring, aren't we?
Come on, go.
Where are all those excited callers at?
Going on, huh?
They're in line. Gary, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can bring on someone exciting. Yeah, let's bring on Nikki.
Right.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Teo. Watch out.
Is she there?
Nikki.
Nikki. Hello?
Nikki.
There she is.
Just slam.
Hi, Teo. How are you?
Hello, Nikki. How are you doing?
I'm doing very good.
Are you stirring the embers?
Yes, always.
Always.
Always. You know, all that fruit you girls sent me, I chopped it all up and made it into a sauce for the duck. I just wanted you to know that how well my friends enjoyed the meal.
Oh,
that's yummy.
Yeah.
With the duck. Yes, that sounded great.
Yeah, I chopped up a lot of fruit and put in some cherries and made a sauce out of it and then just put some sweet soy and then poured it over the duck. It was great.
Yeah. All your recipes sound good.
I think after this book I'm going to do a book on cooking.
Yeah,
because, it's one of the great seductions. If you do it properly, I think it can be a very sexual experience.
Food porn.
Oh, yeah.
As we call it. Okay, let's do
that. Porn. We know you do it properly, Teo.
Yeah.
Well, I have some stubby friends. You'd be surprised. I'm always shocked when you go to people's homes and the way they serve things or the way they present. There's no hors d'oeuvres. There's some peanuts and some chips or something with
my house. No.
And the liquor becomes... then the dinner becomes of hors d'oeuvres that they bought at Costco and they present it and bowing about how wonderfully horrible the food is.
Only good food is at Teo's house, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I think we need to test that out firsthand, don't you, ladies? I think we need to find out, like, for
I think we need to find out, too. Yeah.
Very much so.
One
maybe
of these days.
Get our next thrill. I'll cook for everyone.
Yes.
Hey, sounds like a deal.
We'll hold you to that one.
But you can.
Yes. We'll hold you down to that one.
Yeah.
But you're only
wear the
limited...
apron, Teo.
What's that?
Are you going to wear the apron?
Ooh. Have you been wearing that apron?
Apron, you
when
sent,
you're cooking?
Yeah, you know, you sent me that apron because I had a friend once who was having an affair with two women at the same time, and neither of the women knew it. And one day, I'm going to come over, and why don't you cook me dinner? And she says, and just wear the apron. So he did, mm-hmm. and she came over, and he was just wearing the apron, not mm-hmm. knowing, he did not know that she had met the other woman, found out he was having an affair with the other one at the same time. So they're both, like, conspirators. Set up his plan. So the girlfriend goes over and he's just wearing the apron and he thinks he's going to get incredibly loved this evening and door. And the other one arrives and he's standing there with an apron on and nothing else on. Didn't go very well. To say the least.
Oh, that wouldn't happen with you, Tam.
What? What?
What, Marianne?
I said that was. He said things didn't go very well. I said, well, that wouldn't happen with you, Tao.
I certainly hope the only apron he has in his closet is from you, Marianne.
Hope so. I hope he wears it every time.
Well, let me tell you, I've got a few aprons that I never wear that given me. Thought that, you know, people when they cook like to wear aprons. That's not true. Just restaurants. As they do it all day, but
yeah,
I do it. I like just to be, you know, in my sweats, and then when the guests arrive, change and look like it. I cooked so well that
effortless
was on display. You know, you make it look easy. I went to one French place. I thought, isn't that interesting? Because when you walk into someone's house as you're going for dinner, you can always smell the aroma of the cooking, all the flavors that get in. There's always makes. But I used to go to a friend's place, and I thought, I wonder why her house never smells like she cooked anything, even though the food was great. And then I found out years later it was her mother who used to deliver the food.
Ah,
she did it.
That old trick.
To somebody's house, and you can't smell the cooking. You got it now. It was brought in from somewhere else.
Yeah. Oh, you can smell the cooking in my house.
Oh, has Leanne cooked for you yet?
Oh, yeah.
Leanne hasn't cooked for me in 20 years.
Wow. It was that bad, huh?
Oh,
okay. Well,
you don't tell her that.
Yes, but that fits with the character, doesn't it? I mean, you know.
Yeah, really.
Was.
He was just looking like, ew. What's an oven?
What's a cheap grater?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. What is this thingy?
What is this thingy?
He thought that the oven was the place where you go to die.
Oh.
He was always kind of suicidal and always in harm's way in some fashion. Mm-hmm. So she was always dramatic, but with a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Next.
Okay. We
actually
have
more.
Hello, Nikki. Is Nikki gone?
Yes, I'm here.
Nikki's
there.
Here.
Anyway, I didn't mean to take the apron all that far, but anyway, that's what we talked about.
I love talking about you and the apron, Tao. It's all good. I do have a question for you, but it's not naughty, so I hope you'll be okay with that.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sure someone has asked you this in the past, but after all of the traveling you've done, is there a place you would like to visit that you haven't been to yet?
Yeah, China.
Oh, you haven't been to China. Oh, I thought you had.
No, I haven't been. I've been as far as Turkey. But I haven't been further east. I would have liked to have gone to Russia, but landing there once at the airport was enough. If that was a reflection of its people, I just wouldn't want to go back. Although lately I've been thinking about going on a cruise that takes you to Russia, and maybe that's the safest way of doing it. It's too dangerous a place. While I was at the airport, two Americans ran in to the airport and heard me speaking English, and they said, oh, are you American? And I said, close. And they said, oh, God, it's so good to speak to somebody who can speak English because it's been the worst journey of our lives. And they were robbed. They went through some terrible ordeals over there. So it's, you know, it took me a long time to get used to the Middle East because people, are when they see tourists, are always after their money. And some are more charming than others, but... you know, you learn those lessons as you go along because each society has a different way of knocking on your door.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So anyway, yes, China, I would say.
Have you ever been to Chicago, where I am?
Yes, I've been to Chicago quite a few times.
Oh.
I've been there, and I've been there in the summer. I liked Chicago. I thought the people were great. I thought the restaurants were great. I thought the museums were great. It just the weather was not. Neither was humid or it was cold. And and weather for me is prominent. I just I suppose that's why I landed in California. I just don't work well in cold weather.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Mediterranean blood, you know. It doesn't work well when it's frozen. Or when it's over, you know, bearing through the heat. But because of all, it's very humid, I think, when I went to Chicago, I remember, just like New York is in August.
Yeah, definitely. I'm trying to get Anna and Marianne to come here, and you should come visit, too. We can all go to Greektown.
There you go.
Greektown in Chicago. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I'm ready for more Greek food, so that would be fun.
Ooh.
I went to Greektown in Chicago.
Oh, you did?
Is there a restaurant called Olive there?
Yes. Mhm.
Yes, that's where it was. That's where I first discovered it. Yeah, it was great. Anyway.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, it was wonderful. So, is everybody watching Days of Our Lives?
Mm-hmm.
I am.
Yes,
I tried
yesterday. Most of us are.
And how is it going?
Well, it put me to sleep.
It put you to sleep
a little better.
Well, February, March, April are supposed to be heating up, so we'll see. We'll be seeing Brian, of course. He's coming back, and some other people. Of course, we would love to see Tony rise from the dead and have him come back as well.
Actually, at the moment, I'd like to see Andre raise from the dead, and then he could kill off a few people.
Yeah, I'd like to see Andre first.
There you go.
And then
how I love doing that. I love disturbing all those happy people going in. And
well, there's a lot of them that need disturbing at the moment.
They need to be stirred up.
We'll give you a hit list. Our top 10 hit list.
Yeah, we have a long hit list.
Who's on
Race
top
number
of
one.
Andre? Who's on top of your hit list?
Rafe and Madison. If you could get them both at the same time, that would be awesome.
Who are you saying?
Rafe and Madison.
Madison.
Yeah.
Madison's a fairly new character.
Yeah, I didn't know them.
Rafe?
Yeah.
Daniel?
You know Rafe. Yeah.
You know Rafe. Yeah.
Daniel's leaving.
Daniel's leaving, so.
Nope,
yeah, why is he leaving?
Coming back.
He's a good actor. Yeah, and he's a nice guy. He's a nice guy.
I just don't like the character.
Yes, the character. Yeah.
Well,
I will say, whenever he's in scenes with Lauren, of course, they're awesome together. They really, they play, whether they're fighting or not fighting the characters, they do a great job. So, yeah, so I'm sure a lot of people will be sad to see him leave. But maybe he'll be back. You never know.
If they're not killing him off, I'm sure it's an open-end thing. But you never know. I mean, every time they killed me off, I mean, it was always hostile.
And no reason for it.
The lead.
Right. For the plot.
I remember asking Ken Corday, why couldn't I just disappear up the stairwell instead of having to be viciously
or with
killed?
Anna.
Or mail a letter.
But,
with Anna.
Yes, mm-hmm. But they...
Mm-hmm.
One producer said to me when I decided to leave, he said to me, if you leave, I'll blow you to bits. I thought, oh... That's nice. Nice thought. I said, but make sure I have some poetry in my mouth before I die, to Anna, lying in Anna's arms. And but since then, they've been killing me. Oh, God, it's always so dramatic.
Oh,
you know.
Well,
but
well,
it was. But listen, I enjoyed the cast, and you know, sometimes the writing was difficult, or sometimes it was wonderful. But you still had to try to work it, and that was always challenging. But it was one of the things that kept things interesting, you know, so that you just didn't take it for granted. And depending on the actor that you were working opposite, would resolve as to how interesting it would result as to how interesting the outcome would be. And James was always great, and Joe Mascola was great, and Kate was great, and Anna. A lot of them. I like Deidre. Not so much Bo.
Bo and Tony don't seem to really blend anyway, you know? I wouldn't see them hanging out a lot.
Oh, no. Somehow the beer would be half empty. But Christian was great. I love Christian. I mean, you know, Peter Reckles, a nice guy and not say, but it just seems that the character and the way it was written, especially when it was towards me, was always threatening. It was, you kind of got exhausted to have to always get out of it, or a new approach has to have to respond, you know. So, and I loved playing upset Alison Sweeney when I played the clown, because I knew how much she hated
me. Yeah.
I love that story.
You're very
good. Too much fun.
The clown.
I'm scared of clowns, too.
That was always fun to watch.
But when she told me she hated clowns, I mean, I jumped right in. I thought, oh, my God, you just gave me the key to the door.
And you got an Emmy nomination out of it.
Yeah, and she was...
Well, she helped you with that, see?
She was very good in the scene. You know, it wasn't just me playing. It was, you know, she, too, responding.
Oh, yeah.
And the closer I got to her breast, the more she repelled back into her. That's what I did. My hand would go ever so close, and
let's take some callers.
Oh, you better take some callers. Yeah, they're probably dying to get on.
Yeah. Sabina. You're on with Teo.
Who is it?
Sabina.
Oh, Sabina, hi.
Hi, Teo.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Our Twitter girl.
Yes.
Remember
me, yay.
Sabina, what kind of name is Sabina?
Well, my parents lived in Germany when my father was stationed there in the Navy, and they met somebody by that name, and that's why it's spelled with the E on the end. It's the German spelling and pronunciation. And I've hated it all my life because I have to correct everybody because they don't spell it right, nor do they say it right.
Can you imagine when I say my name, they always say what?
Yeah, I know. And I'm sure they hardly ever, only Hoochies spell it right, too, probably.
Spelling it. Yeah, but not
sorry,
only,
that.
Only spelling
Teo.
It. Pronounced? I can't tell you how many versions of Teo I've gotten in my life.
Well, I
probably
know exactly
never
how
Teo,
you feel then.
Hmm?
I definitely know how you feel then.
Oh, yeah, that's why I was mentioning it. It's just, it's like, I feel I'm always at school. You know how you always had to pronounce your name in school? And spell that right, people. How do you spell that? I thought, oh, here we go again.
E-A-Y-O.
I should have gotten a name like Mick. That would have been easy.
I don't know. I think Tony and Andre are good.
Yeah, those are two good names.
I hate the name Andre.
You hate the name Andre?
Oh, I never liked the name Andre. I just think it's kind of wimpy.
Oh.
But wait, oh no. Well, you didn't make Didn't make the character wimpy.
I thought Andre was strong. Yeah, I thought Andre was strong.
Andre was strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, it gave me a chance to take from Tony, who sometimes was written in you know, such a, I don't know, sometimes I had to create my own chaos in order to make Tony interesting, whereas Andre was always there. I loved wondering how I was going to upset everybody. And I always enjoyed watching them all get so serious at me when I was speaking to them. It was interesting how actors always responded to Andre, because it was always accusatory and it was always trying to put me on the defensive, and I just smiled at them because I always had the idea that I was ahead of the game. And as an actor, you know, you have to play it that way. Mm-hmm. Just like when you journey through, you know, foreign countries, you've got to play it like you know their country better than they do, even though you don't speak their language, but you know their culture. And so the same with when I played Andre, it was like every taboo that I wasn't allowed to play in my life, I was able to play Andre. And I think the worst part of it was when they put me in drag.
Oh, that was awful. You don't make a pretty woman, I can tell you that.
No,
right,
you
now
don't. Oh, please. Ugliest woman.
Very. I was happy with that because that's the only thing that made me
funny,
happy
though,
that I was such an ugly broad. That
it was funny.
It was funny,
guys who were playing under thighs who were in the gym. And I went up to them because I wanted to see a response. And I went up to them and I said, "So who are you playing?" And they said, "So-and-so and so-and-so." I said, "Oh, okay." So we talked for a while about their credits, actors do. And so I went in and got into drag. And as I was walking by, they happened to be in the gym at the time I was talking to them, a transvestite. So when I was walking by them, they didn't know that the transvestite that was there before had gone, and what walked past was me in drag, and they thought it was the transvestite. I heard, "There goes that transvestite." Oh my God, an ugly broad and a transvestite. That really made me feel. And then I went, "No, that's the whole idea. Andre is so oblivious to the way he looks that just. He always threw things, you know." So, anyway.
Funny. Sabina, can we? Do you have a question? I'm sorry.
Yes,
I actually do.
I have a very interesting question. It's kind of different. If you could relive any 30 minutes of your life, what would it be?
Being, I think, with my parents when they visited me the one time they did in America.
Aww. Sweet. What sweet.
Yeah, because that was the only time I realized that I always left them. And when they were leaving me in Los Angeles and they were getting on the plane, for the first time I realized my parents were leaving me this time. It never happened that way. I always left them. It always stayed with me. And I was saying the goodbye. And so I thought that a lot of the years that I spent navigating this career was not seeing my family for that many years. And so I would think that when I eventually retire, I'll probably go back to Australia because I'd like to spend some time with the family because we're all still very close. But this distance thing... you know, I'd like to be there and work with them as we evolve together, and we haven't done that.
Right. Aw, that's great. Yeah.
Great.
I know. I'm glad that I'm here with my family in Georgia for the first time. My mom moved back here finally as well, and it's good that she's there to help her parents through the Alzheimer's with my grandfather, and it's rough. He up and down with him, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a terrible disease, and eventually I think we all will know somebody in our lives who will go through it. The way the percentage of people with dementia or Alzheimer's. But it's a fact, and it's important that everybody educate themselves because of how to handle when people you've loved and the way you've been embraced by each other in through life, that thing changes, and suddenly, you know, it's more like a skeleton. And having lost my brother-in-law and seeing my sister's response, you know, I learned something about it by having visiting and going to see him in the hospital and see him eventually fade to just a skeleton, basically. But it was a great education. And so, anyway, I don't want to get serious about this. It was a life's lesson, and I think it's important that everybody understand the disease because we shall all be confronted by it. And, maybe Andre will come back with dementia. Wouldn't that be interesting?
Wow.
There you go.
Yes, forgetting who he'd killed in the past and coming back as an innocent who has a number of awakenings during his demise. But anyway, but the show's,
well,
I hope the show's going well. It'd be nice for it to survive, being that it's been around for so long and having seen so many of the soaps gone. I think it, you know, Daisy's really an icon of daytime, and so it's always, for me, great memories, and I'm happy that they're continuing, and you know, it's a constant search for what works and what doesn't. And
yeah.
So anybody else waiting for a question?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got tons of people.
Oh, well, come on.
Come on.
Yeah, Cheryl. You're on with Tao. Cheryl?
Cheryl, hi.
How are you?
I'm getting there.
I just want to tell you I loved you on Days and would love to see you come back as well.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, you never know what happens. They'll wake up one day and they'll have an idea, and maybe Tony will be back or Andre will be back. It's always been a terrific experience. I think because I always think, when I think of Days, I always think of the journeys that afforded me those trips. And so I've always looked at Days with great appreciation.
I have a quick question as well,
if
you don't mind. Who or what gave you your positive, calm personality that you have?
When I was 26 and confused, I went to a metaphysical teacher who was from England, and her name was Catherine Haywood. And she was in Hollywood. I had come out, and I had no idea where I was headed. But I remember walking in, and she's saying to me, how dare you come here with the mind you have and the trash you associate with? And I stood there numb. I just couldn't believe someone could say that to you. And I didn't go back to her for 6 months. And when I did, and I eventually moved to Los Angeles, I spent 12 years with her. And she taught me about clearing one's aura, about what it is we are here to work out, what's on the other side. She helped me understand life and what takes place afterwards better than anybody ever expressed to me. So out of that, and having done a meditation course, it gave me insights. I was interested to know more about what was in the inside than the outside. I mean, I could see the outside, but I looked towards the inside because that's the place that was confused, and I need to work it out. And so I slowly, through the process, began to understand my purpose here. And when I was able to overcome my certain insecurities, I was able to see other people in front of me, which then led me to understand through their body behavior and their tone of their speech and what they were really saying to me. And so insight came through that experience. And And I found that to be a real challenging thing. And then when I went into ancient cultures in the Middle East and into Europe, I was able to experience those lessons with the people that crossed my path. And by doing that, I felt I became more evolved and I got to understand. But I think that's why my characters always had layers. That's why I was able to go there, because that's the only way I knew how to express something was by going deep enough. That's why they used to say to me, "Oh, you're so deep," derogatorily. I love now. I've reached a stage now where I can sit quietly. Where I don't have to demonstrate anything and just listen to how people express themselves. And by doing so, their unheard language through body and through tone, you get a better sense of what they're really saying to you. And it creates greater insight. So that's why, to your question.
Oh, thank you so much.
To your question. But that's why all that took place. And I'm glad it did. I see it in my stories, and I see it in the people that I have, that I have inside my house, and I understand them well. And there are those who are, you know, outside the door or across the street that I bring in occasionally, because they're not in the same evolvement as those who come into my house.
All right, thank you so much, and I'm looking forward to reading your books.
Thank you.
Thanks, Cheryl. Okay, let me grab Samantha.
Hi.
Samantha.
How are you?
Hello, Samantha.
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm good. What time is it in your area?
Well, I happen to be currently in Tucson, so I'm an hour difference from you.
Oh, that's not too bad. So we can expect some excitement from you.
Me? Excitement doesn't ring with me. No, I'm sorry. I'm kind of like you. I'm the real mellow type.
I think that's why those of us who are actors love to demonstrate, and there are those who like to sit back and watch.
Yeah, I think I'm just kind of a watcher right now. I'm watching how everything is evolving and the energy and where things are leading me, and trying to simply adapt and not fight them.
Uh-huh. And are you happy for it?
No. I'd rather be up in the mountains than down here in the desert.
Well, you know, there's something about the desert. When I went into a place called Petra in Jordan, and I've been writing about it, when I sat in tents, where it was 130 degrees out and sitting in tents of a cooler with Bedouins, and where their life was strictly within the desert of a desert called Wadi Rum, and they would sit there, and that was their life. And I thought, wow, I get the opportunity to see so many other colors, but because they live in a desert, it usually means that you've chosen that area because you want to have more, you need more work within.
Yeah, I kind of figure the spirit guide just keeps sending me here for some reason. This is like our fourth time here. My husband's military. So I kind of figure there's something here I haven't quite learned, or maybe there's a teacher here or something I haven't completed. I don't know. I just kind of go with the flow as much as I can.
How old are you?
I'm in my mid-50s.
Oh, so, you know, that's an interesting decade, I think, because you start to get into your next renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
And you collect everything that you have gotten so far in your transformation in your 40s, and then your 50s are about what you did in your 30s, except you're more evolved, hopefully, in your 50s, and so that you go into your 60s, into that last sense. And it's amazing what comes to you, the answers that come to you that in the 50s you didn't get or you were working out. But in your 60s, the answers will come and you'll have a better understanding. I think that's why, you know, all religious figures, when you see them, always went into a desert.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always about insight and the challenges by being in a harsh environment. They didn't want to give themselves the easy way out, just like monks that I've experienced in high places of the environment where man is not influencing their behavior, and so they're usually on their own, and the occasional tourist or guest comes in, but deserts to me are always a place where you go to find something out.
I like it here where we are is because we're at the kind of the base of a mountain. Even though I'm in Tucson, I'm not down in the low levels where it's flat. I'm up more in the hilly area, and I love it because this complex, we get bobcats that come through here. We get coyotes that come through here.
Oh, I love that.
We get javelinas. Oh, yes. I every time I see a coyote or a bobcat walking through here, I get so full of this joy and this peace and contentment that the wildlife is still existing among us humans.
Yeah, there's nothing. To me, there's one of the most exciting things was to always come across an animal that told you didn't belong there because it was their environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or that you were invading their environment and they're circling you to see why you're there. I always loved that, and especially, you know, seeing cats. I loved wild cats.
I adore them. I had an interesting experience. Is one of the snowbirds who's through here, not a resident of Tucson, just, you know, comes down for the winter. He's got these three standard-sized poodles. I mean, these are big poodles. And I'm an animal person anyways, and I was out there giving them loves and Reiki and, you know, the whole thing. And I looked down behind my backyard, and there's a coyote there staring. And we were wondering what this coyote was going to do, and he just very calmly skirted around us and the dogs and just kept on his way. And it was like, oh, okay. Not feeling threatened, just...
It's different when you're in the Hollywood Hills because where I lived, they found 74 dog collars.
Wow.
And at night I could hear the screams from the coyotes.
Wow.
The calls to the wild. But I had a friend next door to me who had rabbits, and she was sitting at the window one day, and while she was looking out, a coyote came by and passed. And when he came by again, he had the rabbit in his mouth and snapped the neck right in front of her. I don't mean to disturb the beauty.
It is the way of life, you know?
It's the way of life.
That's the one thing I'm learning to accept.
You know, so. Anyway, it was nice to talk to you. Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Samantha. Okay, let's go to Susie.
Susie.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi,
Susie.
Hi, Teo. It's nice to finally talk to you.
Talk to you.
Yes, I do have a question. First of all, congratulations on finishing a complete draft of your book. That's really amazing.
I hope it goes in my living room.
I just wanted to know, did you learn anything new about yourself during the writing process, or was there anything that really surprised you?
Well, I think it was because of the contents of the book and writing these journeys in my mind. I went through them again, and some of them were emotional, like losing a friend or something was a euphoric experience. And so when I was writing about them, it was kind of interesting to go through them again and remember things that normally I would have, you know, just left in the back of my mind unless they came through conversations or something. But I like my own company. That's what I found out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're so as actors, when I was working on Days, it was so busy, or any of the other shows I was doing, you're so busy getting it all together, learning the lines, and then the next week, and then the next week, and they all kind of bleed in. And that's why when the Journeys came, I always got excited because I knew I was going to feed myself back. And by sitting here at the computer and writing these stories, I realized I didn't need anybody's company. I wasn't feeling lonely. I sometimes wouldn't answer the phone. I knew by who it was. It was going to be lengthy, or it was going to be controversial or complain. And so I would choose very succinctly those I wanted to speak to that wouldn't interfere with the flow. But I've enjoyed a year of really sitting at my computer and evolving this way. And that I have something to say, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, after all these experience, you would have to have something to express because of it. Because people do, I know people who travel, and when they come back, you know, within 2 weeks, they're back to the old course. Nothing's changed about them. And I read once that, you know, when we leave our front door, something about ourselves when we return has changed. But I find that a lot of people, they take journeys, it's a holiday, they come back and back onto their job. But I didn't want that. I wanted to make sure that where I was going to make a difference. And I was able to execute it through my work. Now, if you don't have that journey or that energy that you experience to put somewhere, it just becomes a memory. And it could be a mother coming back, appreciating your children more, or a father. It may be in the way that somebody changes in the way they cook or the way they speak to people. But those things do change you. And so at this stage of my life, I think that's what I've learned.
That's really interesting. I mean, I know Nikki's a writer and I'm a writer. And I think a lot of times during the writing process, you find out things about yourself as you write them on the page that you may not have known otherwise, or how you perceive things. So I think that's really interesting, especially if you're writing about travel and
It becomes beyond the travel. It becomes, because to me, when someone says, "Oh, you're doing this for for your travel show," I said, "It's not a travel show. A travel show is when you take people and show
exactly.
show the icons of the area that you're visiting." But the way I'm talking about is that when you go and see these icons, how do they relate and how do they change you by having understood them or passed through them, and so that there is not just a like going through a museum and just looking at things and then forgetting about what you saw. It's about experience things to your inner core, and when you come back, make a difference.
Exactly. Well, we're very excited about it and hope we get to read it soon.
Oh, thank you. And it was nice to talk to you.
Congratulations. Nice to talk to you, too. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Susie. Okay, and we have Rick.
No.
Hey, Rick.
Hello, boss. Oh, my God, Rick. I, you know, I've lit candles for you.
No way.
Because what is that hand of yours missing?
Oh, I have no clue. I can't do nothing with it right now. I mean, nothing. It's ruined my sex life and everything.
I'm sure it must be all on one. You must be doing on one hand.
You're doing something wrong there, Rick.
Oh, I know. I guess it's too much Fosters.
No, it's not the Fosters. It's about your temperament and how something affected you, and you got angry about it because something about it was not understood, not necessarily by you, but maybe by your boss or whatever. But
right.
You know, what you end up with is how you treated yourself, and that was with a broken wrist or broken hand.
But I'm learning from it. I cut down since the past 2 weeks ago, and I'm taking a different approach to it.
Yes, you should. You should be more loving to your body,
right?
Take your frustration out. When did you learn from it?
Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long is it in the cast?
Yeah, I have a wrist cast on. I go back to work February 2nd. So right now I'm sitting home doing nothing. Just catching up on days.
Did you put your fist into the wall?
What?
In front of your boss or after you left him?
Both.
Use a pillow next time instead of the wall, Rick.
Well, I know.
You want to punch something.
But the good thing you didn't hit him.
Now, that was my first inclinations, but I decided against the wall.
Is he younger than you?
No, he's the same age as me, 37.
Oh. Ah. So how's your fiance?
Oh, she's doing great. Me and her tweeted to you today on Twitter. She wants you to get ordained and to marry us.
Mouth ordained and not the best man.
And now that addition to my resume, please, can you imagine? Hollywood will be
running. Are the Hoochies invited to the wedding?
All of them are.
Okay.
Didn't you play a nun once, Tao?
He played a priest.
Is that
and priest.
Enough?
And Mission Impossible.
Sweetie, I
played
them
priest
all.
In Mission Impossible.
And my fiancé.
Oh, Dave.
Yes, I did play a nun on Days, and that
not
pleased my director, because I couldn't wait to take that thing off my head, and he thought I was being theatrical, and I said, no, I was being smart. They did not make a pretty nun. Oh, my God.
We're a pretty nurse.
We are going to name our first, if we have a boy, we're going to name our first son, Andre James Harvey, after Andre and EJ.
Oh!
Why can't you call him Anthony James rather than Andre? Or is that the area within you that stirs?
Yeah, I got that little evil side that stirs every day. Little evil Andre comes out every day.
Every time you look at him, you're going to think, what the F is he up to?
Yeah.
We called Andre Sweevil.
Sweet
and evil. Yes.
I love sweet your creativeness.
He's so sweet.
I do have one serious question for you, Theo.
Yes.
There is a character on Days called Quinn. His real name is Brent Foster, and he's an Australian actor. How do you feel with another Australian actor on Days?
Well, you know, I came long before Australia was even known. The fact that I came on in 1981, that another Australian, I think that's great. You know, I think that's interesting. I don't know. I haven't seen the show, so I don't know who you're talking about. To see what kind of character. What's he playing? What kind of character?
An evil character. He was a pimp. He was pimping girls out to... In Salem. He was Vivian Alamein's son.
Oh, well, that's a bad start. I mean, to come on as a pimp or whatever is not a good start for a character. He has to go through too much forgiveness, and then he becomes weak. But, no, I think another Australian actor is great. I mean, there's room for many nationalities on that show. That's why it's an international show, and that's why it's been successful.
That's great. Well, nice talking to you. I know all the Hoochies is getting along talking to you. I just want to say hi.
All right,
Rick.
I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Right.
Take care, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Rick. Okay, we'll go to Jan.
Oh, my God.
Jan.
Jan.
Hello.
Oh, there
Hello.
You are, you one.
I don't. Go ahead.
No, she's called the brat of the pack.
Oh.
Are you having a perfect evening?
Oh, it's never perfect.
Oh.
But it's very enjoyable.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you have your hands around a good stiff cocktail.
The enunciation on specific words?
Yes.
Cocktail, not a cocktail. She had to say stiff.
But of course.
The provocateur.
Anyway, I would just like to say I love your mind.
Oh,
I love your tweets. and thank you so much just for being you.
Thank you. And I'm glad you like the photos I've been placing.
Oh, I love them. I have missed them so much.
Well, I finally
so
got around to how to do it again, because when they changed the Facebook situation, I was posting photographs of what I was writing about. So I was bringing your friends along into the journey you were taking. And so when I showed you the photograph of me sitting on top of Sinai, it was because of the time that I went with my teacher and climbed the mountain and what took place. And so when I remember having that picture taken by my teacher, Lewis, and so I finally thought, you know, I should put that picture up. I mean, it's going to be in the book, but I just thought it was such a spiritual photo and about what evolved out of that journey crossing the Sinai Desert and into climbing the mountain at 1 o'clock in the morning. And that picture taken at dawn when the sun just suddenly shot up and my friend Lewis took that photo was against the little church that sits atop of the mountain of Moses. And out of it came a 95-year-old monk who was singing Kyrie eleison, and he goes down once a year to the Feast of the Bread, and then they carry him down all the way, which took us 4.5 hours, and then they carry him back all the way back up, and he stays in the monastery.
Oh, how fascinating.
Yeah, how about that for devotion?
Oh, my. Yeah, see, there's the beauty and light. I love all the beauty and light that your memoirs must bring to you and are going to bring to us and have with some of the pictures, especially the ones lately. Just gorgeous.
Yeah, one of it was I was riding on my trip to Assisi when I went to explore St. Francis and how I kept asking the cab driver where the old little church of St. Francis was, and he had no idea what he was talking about. So he ended up dumping me at this large cathedral, and I just kind of frustrated gave up, and I walked in. And then while I was looking around and to my right, I noticed there was a little church that was inside the big cathedral, and I thought, I wonder what that is. And so I walked over to it, and I saw all these frescoes painted around the little chapel. And then when I walked in and I looked and I thought, well, this church looks much older than the cathedral. And suddenly it dawned on me that by accident I ended up being at St. Francis's little chapel that I was looking for, only I was taken there by accident.
Ah, but see, there's a reason for all that, isn't there? There's really no accidents, is there?
No, it's... And if you're willing to wait long enough, instead of, you know, I could have said to myself when I got out, oh, I'll go somewhere else. Because I didn't want to go into a cathedral I didn't know. I hadn't done any research on.
Yeah.
Walk somewhere else. But instead I decided, well, let's walk in because something about knowing when you're on track, something popped up for by accident. And so it was, and that's when I sent you the picture that I had taken in the church when the light was shining through one of the windows and it made it look like, you know, a God's light.
Oh, my. Yes. Just gorgeous.
But
so spiritual.
Yeah, very, very spiritual journey. And my teacher had passed away about 5 years ago, and but that journey changed his life because when I called my teacher up and I just finished Mission Impossible and I said to him, listen, I want to go and take this journey. I want to go to Egypt and I want to go to Greece and I want to go to Italy. Would you like to come? He says, well, I can't afford it. And he'd never been out of America. And he was 62. So I said to him, no, I'm going to take you. Because I wanted someone who had wisdom so that when I, you know, woke up or when we traveled to some place, we had something to talk about instead of somebody thinking, oh, I got to go and get laid, like, and as if they had to go all the way to Italy to get laid. I mean, I never understand.
You could just come to Kansas City.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of places you could go.
You can go to any state, Dale.
Oh, my
anywhere.
Anywhere.
Well, Florida's open.
Pennsylvania.
These are always open.
But then when you come back, you think, oh, why didn't I do it in some foreign country so I could have a different taste of some culture in a sensual way? But mine's not there, you know. When I'm in those places, I'm in those places. I don't think of my lower... you know, getting laid while you're envisioning climbing Sinai and being in the place of Moses and all that, those myths that were there before you, you don't think, I gotta get laid.
Raise your hands. Anyone on that mountain of any of us? We'd be thinking of it. With you.
When you walk up that mountain after 4.5 hours at 1 o'clock,
that's not what you're thinking of.
You keep that lots of energy. You're not giving us enough credit.
Don't
discount the strength of the team.
Yeah.
I think of your pecker at dawn, on top of Sinai.
Oh my.
Anyway.
Yes.
Anyway. It was nice to talk to you.
Oh, it was wonderful to talk to you. And I know there's other people waiting, but could I get a grrr?
Yes.
Thank you so much, Mr. T. Hugs and smiles to you.
Oh, thank you, honey. Nice talk to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jan.
Bye, Jan.
Thanks, Jan.
Oh, she's
cute,
funny.
Such a sweetie.
I love her. Yeah. And we have Dema on the line.
Oh,
right.
My.
Dema.
Hello.
Oh, my. You've taken a break, have you?
Yes, I have.
You've allowed us a little of your time. Anyway, listen, thank you again also with all the girls for your gifts.
You're welcome, Tail.
Thank you. How are you doing, Mom?
Doing pretty well. Just busy.
Just
my
busy.
Hands full.
How about pleasure?
Yeah, with little Natasha. So.
Are you having any pleasure?
Oh yes. Being a
mom.
My.
You make it frightful. Make it sound exciting and curious. And dangerous.
It can be all that, actually.
Yeah, that's dangerous, that's for sure, yeah.
Yes, nothing routine, of course.
Yeah, she rolled off the bed the other day.
Oh, jeez.
Rolled off the bed the other day?
Yes, she did.
What, is it somebody having a nightmare?
No, she's almost 9.5 months old, so...
Oh, my God.
She's doing what she's supposed to be doing, I guess, and...
Yeah, she's learning to roll over.
I turned my back for a second, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
Oh!
Is she okay?
Oh!
She's okay. Yeah, there's Tao. Say hi to Tao.
Oh, yes.
A hoochie
in training.
Early.
Yeah, don't introduce her to Days of Our Lives at this stage of her life. Let her at least have some revelation at this time of her life. I don't
just
think
show her YouTube.
I mean, we'll talk to her about it when you're older, and you'll say how you spend your time sometimes watching a serial that in some way stimulated you and had fun and remembered characters that in some way were part of your life. But I think at this stage she's probably going to be on a different path than her mother.
Yes, and her father would prefer that as well. He thinks this is all a bunch of nonsense. But who cares what he thinks?
Yeah, who cares? Who cares what they think, right, Dema?
That's right.
So, Dema, what's your husband like?
Oh, Lord. George is quite an interesting man.
And George...
I don't think we have enough time to go into it.
George came from the Middle East.
Oh, my God.
He has olive skin.
Oh, my God. So you went for the exotic.
Yes, I did. But in my own back door.
Oh, my God. Are they passionate?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's good. It's a very heated environment. He should be.
Yeah, well, he's like you. He can't stand the cold weather.
Oh, that's good. And what part of the Middle East is he from?
He's from Syria.
Oh.
Latakia.
That's one of the oldest surviving, continuously surviving cultures.
Yes, it is.
Aww.
Yeah, I love Syria. I think Syria is it's terrible what they're going through. But what an amazing culture it has. It's really, every ancient civilization landed or existed there.
Yeah.
It's just its present government sucks.
Yeah.
Right. That's an understatement. That's a huge understatement, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
But it's funny, I miss the Middle East. And I don't know what it is. I think...
Ooh.
What our question is...
You sound Syrian to me.
I think she was sitting
on
the
pill. Yeah, I think she was too.
Well, listen, it was nice to talk to you.
Yeah, it was nice talking to you, too.
Yeah, I'm so happy for your baby.
Thank you. Happy New Year. Take care.
Yeah, take care and say hi to George.
I will.
Okay, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Dama.
Bye, Dama.
Bye.
Too cute. Okay, we are going to go with Michelle.
Ha!
Yes?
Hi, Dama.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I think the tequila has relaxed me.
Great. I'm having amaretto tonight.
The what?
Amaretto.
Oh, it's not a drink I cherish.
Really?
I like almonds, but and almond flavorings, but I don't like amaretto. But maybe because it has too much sugar.
Well, I won't hold it against you.
Well, that's okay. I mean, it's good to have differences. That's what brings people together, curiosity.
Speaking of bringing together, what do we need to do to bring you back to the East Coast?
Thank you, Michelle.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to hear about some meetings on the East Coast. So...
Yeah.
When I know, maybe, you know, when I come, I'll have a group of us get together.
That sounds wonderful. You know, they're having an exhibit on the Dead Sea Scrolls in Times Square.
Oh, I've seen some of them in Amman, Jordan, at the Ecological Museum, but I'm sure, the only trouble with the Dead Sea Scrolls is that they only reveal those things that we wanted to know about. The others that went against the Catholic religion was suppressed.
Really?
I didn't
know.
Okay. I mean, if you look at the Gospel of Judas and also Mary Magdalene, which they found in the last century, it's really an interesting way in which in the 4th century the Christian Church eliminated all the Bibles except for four. And in the last century, when they eliminated all those other Bibles, they found in a cave a monk, and under his remains was the Gospel of Judas. And it really surfaced in Cairo, and then this artist gave it to somebody in Switzerland, and then he wanted to get so much money for it, and then he couldn't, and then it ended up in New Jersey, where it was in a vault. Then 15 years later, when they took it out, it had deteriorated terribly, And but what it said in that gospel, I thought was fascinating about the friendship between Judas and Christ, different to what the Catholic and all other religions, including the Orthodox, believe. So I always found that story fascinating because of what the relationship of Judas and Christ was and how in his gospel, which was written in I think the 3rd century, what transpired. And so it's different to what we believe today. And I found that fascinating. And so I don't know why I went on to that track, but anyway, it's a fascinating development as far as what truly took place at the resurrection of the crucifixion of Christ.
So he wasn't the bad guy?
No. No, it what it says about was that the Christ figure, who was a very evolved rabbi, had told his friend that he wanted to make a setup. And by that setup, which was to have him, because they were expecting the Messiah, and because he was very evolved, he decided to create the image, and that he would be, that Judas would be more loved in the afterlife than he would be in history. And so he sacrificed his friendship in order to create that illusion. And that's what the Gospel of St. Matthew is about.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't mean to step on anybody's beliefs, but I'm just relating to. There's a book called The Gospel of St. Matthew. It's a wonderful story. Also, I think they did a thing on history on it. It's a fascinating subject because of all the dogma, and to get another point of view from it made it interesting. I mean, we can never prove anything, but still, to me, it just made life a little more real than.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks for listening.
Of course. Well, hopefully you'll be on the East Coast and we will have a get together.
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. And
have a happy new year.
And good fortune to you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Michelle.
Bye, Michelle.
Okay, we have Jason.
Hello, Jason. Hello, Teo. Good evening.
How are you, sir?
Good. I don't know if you remember me. We met at the dinner a few years ago at Massachusetts.
Remember you?
And you told me about one-pointedness.
Yes, I remember you. You were taller than me, if I remember, and you were probably slimmer than me.
Maybe slightly. Maybe a little bit.
That's because of your youth.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, I remember. And also, Quinn is a friend, right?
Pardon?
Isn't Quinn Redeker a friend of yours?
Yeah, we're working on a few projects together now.
Yeah, how is he?
Yeah. Oh, he's doing great. You know, really amazing man.
Give him my best, will you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's a lovely man.
Actually, I actually have a question for you about the craft in general, the craft of acting and whatnot. So I'm doing a little bit of directing soon for a project, and I wanted to ask you. This is not too heavy of a question, but as an actor, what characteristics do you define a good director, and how can directors communicate with actors in a way that ensures that both parties get the best out of each other?
Firstly, I think you need to cast your characters as close to the actors as you can, especially when you're starting out. You need as much help as possible. So the closer you can by the way you see these characters are portrayed, you choose the character that's closest to the skin of that particular person. But, you know, an actor always has an opinion, and he's going to feel more comfortable and you'll get more out of him or her if you listen to what they have to say as well. And I think in the communication, it's not telling them, because you're still young in the business. You suggest. But if you want to give a communication to an actor, always start with the phrasing of, may I suggest something? because then it puts the actor at ease. Rather than saying, no, you know, I disagree with you. I think this should be this. Then what you get is an actor who closes up and then the communication is not registered. You want to,
okay.
You want them to open up to you by saying the word, can I suggest something? By getting their approval, they're open to your speech.
So that's very valuable. Okay.
Yeah, and so insight is important. So you do all your homework before you meet your actors so that when you talk to them, you know what you're talking about.
Right.
And that you know their characters better than they do. But the only way you let them know that is by the way you suggest and not the way you tell them.
Hmm.
If you want, especially in the early stages, when you become more successful, if that's what your plan of action is, and because then they come in respecting you and they already know you have established, then he'll tell you. But if you're in the beginning stages of it, it's better to suggest.
Okay, that's very wise, and I appreciate it. Going back to where you said casting characters, or rather casting actors as closely as possible to the characters, are you talking about casting them as closely to the paradigm for what the character is in my mind, or something
yeah.
else?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to have a character who's a loser, you're not going to pick somebody who's a very good-looking gal or a very attractive woman,
right.
who looks like a loser. You don't. You usually choose somebody who's overweight or somebody who is too thin or is more a little more meek in their perspective, so that. By choosing that, it's not going to be a stretch for them to play the part. You get
okay.
what
yeah,
you cast.
Makes...
Huh?
Oh, no, I'm just saying that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, if the girl is going to be a sensual creature, they're going to pick someone as a knockout. If the guy is going to be your hero, then you're going to want someone who's physically and good looking enough for the to sustain the audience's attention. Because people like to have sex while people are on the stage, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So your heroes, and because they're following them, they want to think that in some way they're part of their environment. And then you pick your villain who's going to disturb the process by choosing someone not on the nose. You don't choose someone who looks like a villain. You choose somebody who you think is a villain who's ordinary or who is like your boy next door or your girl next door. Because that makes it a much more interesting choice.
Okay.
Going against type. And always start with your scenes and end them with your opposites. You start one way, but you finish in another. And always look for the love in the scene. It's very important because it makes it human.
Okay. Do you mean narratively? Like start the scene with a particular emotion and end with the opposite charge, so to speak?
In the writing and in the action.
Okay.
Because then the audience has somewhere to go in the story. If you give them the same in the way you began, then there's no evolvement. If you start them one way and finish another by giving a result, then they feel that they've been through a scene that in some way answered a question.
That makes sense. It also makes sense from a story perspective, too, since there's continuous motion.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I really appreciate your advice.
Well, listen, it was nice to talk to you. Take care. And give my best to Quinn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, I will. You're one of the few actors that bring the real depth and fullness to the character, and I really appreciate it.
Oh,
so,
thank you. And it was nice to talk to you, Quinn.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Okay,
hello?
And we have Heather.
Hello, Heather.
Hey, Teo, how are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling tonight?
Oh, I'm feeling pretty good. I guess had a loss in the family today, but other than that, I'm doing pretty well. That's why I haven't really been on Twitter too much, so I've missed out on a lot of your tweets lately.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. It's my former mother-in-law passed, my son's grandmother.
Aww.
Yeah, and we actually thought it was going to be their aunt that was going to pass, but she improved, and then their grandmother deteriorated, so she passed this morning. So we've been kind of busy, and then we've had computer problems, so I haven't been on Twitter in so long. I've kind of missed out, but I've missed seeing your tweets a lot. But I have heard about your book and everything. You're completing that, and I can't wait to read that.
You'll get a perspective of the world through the way I went through it. It's there's always some kind of spiritual resolve, I suppose, but there's also some kind of an involvement in friction or conflict that I go through. I've never had a trip where something didn't happen.
Right.
This in the way you, how things are tested when you're on these places and how you treat it or how you go through it. But sometimes we have a reputation being American overseas. And so when they find out you're American, you're either loved, you're embraced, you're congratulated, and sometimes they test you.
Right.
So, anyway.
Well, I can't wait to read that.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You said that you were also working on a few other projects. Does that mean we're going to get to see you in anything anytime soon?
Yes. I'm trusting the process. I'm creating these projects.
Great.
Days one of them, I have my original producer from Mission Impossible, Jeff Hayes, on board. So that I'm excited with. And so it's beginning to, we planted the seeds last year, and now we're beginning to see some shift.
Yay!
Great! That's fantastic. I agree with everybody. You need to come to the East Coast because I'm in North Carolina, so I would love to see something, see you come out here again sometime.
It would be nice to see you, love. Thank you very much. And the best to your family going through these hard times. But we all go through part of the process. And anyway, but nice talking to you.
It's great talking to you, too, and I hope to get back on Twitter and talk with you again soon.
Yeah, thank you, Heather. Take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay,
and we have Rose.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
Rose.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Rose.
Hey there.
I'm doing good.
How are you doing? Okay. I'm doing fine, thanks. I have a couple of good friends of mine that have a list of questions for you, but
you have a great voice.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So what are the questions?
Well, I think you've already kind of answered it. You're not really watching Days right now, are you?
No.
No. So you haven't followed it at all?
No, I haven't. There's something, you know, when you've played it for so many years, you don't feel you need to continue with it. I hear about it. But it's not part of my makeup anymore. It was part of a terrific time of my life, and I'm going on to newer things now. But I'm still interested.
Okay.
I'm still interested in what's happening to it because you kind of spent as much time as I did and not feel like it was part of your skin.
Well, yeah, true.
You know?
True. Are there any places that you is there anywhere you haven't visited yet that you still want to go to?
Well, I had mentioned China. Somebody asked me that question, but I'd like to go to Argentina. If it wasn't for the war, I'd love to go to Afghanistan because it had an incredible history, and they had these incredible-sized monuments of Buddhas that were, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of feet high, and the Taliban blasted them. They were built in around 1000 AD, and they blasted them, and it was a very sad thing. But they're trying to uncover where in ancient times, in about 1100 AD, they found, they heard about a Buddha that is, I don't know, three times the size of the one they, and that it was lying in front of it. So they think perhaps it's beneath the sands. But that's probably one of the places I would like to go. There's just something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I know we hear about the Taliban and all that, but those cultures fascinated me and how they survive and the few things they have in their life that we take for granted. It's always good to go there because it reminds you of how blessed you've been and how what they have to make limited things work. And so I think it's a very inward civilization. And so because there's not a lot to distract them in their culture,
sure.
So they're more within. So what was the other
question? Well, I know we all love listening to your, you know, adventures and seeing the pictures and you talking to us on Twitter and Facebook, and we just love hearing from you.
Oh, well, thank you. That's nice. You know, sometimes, and as you get older, you know, you really get to truly understand things, and it's nice that when you talk them out to people, or, you know, you share them with people, that people respond because something about you, what you went through made a difference or touched them or interested them. So it's nice to be able to get back rather than just putting it out and nobody caring where you went or what you did, but in the way you did it or in the way you shared it, people responded, and it's always positive for me.
Well, we thank you very much for that. Do you have any adventures coming up anytime soon somewhere? Are you, like, going to...
One of my friends is going to be getting married in Greece in the island of Santorini in June.
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That's so nice.
Yeah, and Santorini is one of my favorite places on this earth. If you've never been, you must make it part of your lifetime. It's just an amazing place to visit.
That's been, like, a dream of mine since... Like, I was
12, I think. I know, like, really.
It was right about the time this sexy Greek came into my life on hospital.
You started
and
looking
I
up
started
everything
looking
Greek,
in,
huh?
I started looking up everything
yeah.
Greek.
Greek.
Pre-internet, so, you know, I had to dust off the encyclopedia. No, I'm just kidding.
Because it's had, that island's had great drama. And when it collapsed due to the earthquake and had a tidal wave about 400 meters high, two-thirds of the island went under the ocean. And so when you visit now, you're going to be really walking around the precipice of what was. And then you'll see a bright spot. Maybe you'll find some shepherd with his goats or his sheep coming over the rocks and... And you'll get excited by the animal within him. Who knows?
Oh, wow. Well, thank you so much for talking to us tonight. I'm sure there's other people waiting.
Yes, thank you. It was nice to talk to you.
But I very much appreciate it. I'm sure lots of people do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rose.
Thanks, Rose.
Thank you.
How many people are waiting?
We just have two more.
Okay.
Okay, and this is Perry. This is Jan's husband.
Oh.
Perry.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Hello, Perry.
Hey, Jill. I just was, you know, stumbling along here listening to all this, you know, we got to get some testosterone into this for a little bit.
That's always the basic step, isn't it? Sometimes, you know, that's part of the norm.
We
like sometimes to have a little evolvement out of the testosterone, which
yeah,
is part
great.
Of the... how's your testosterone going anyway?
Oh, fine. I was just going to ask you. I mean, I like to do, you know, I do a lot of fishing with my son-in-law over in the Atlantic in the ocean, and we catch a lot of, like, wahoo and blackfin tuna and mahi-mahi. My favorite is wahoo. I was just wondering if you had a favorite fish that you like to catch or eat.
Well, firstly, I must tell you, I hate the ocean because of what I've been through on shoots and where it was rough seas, but I love the life of the fishermen. I love when people bring, because my brother does that and my friends in Australia do that, and we have such great fish out, and the waters are very clean, and I always love when they brought fresh fish and what we do with them. But, you know, I love the John Dory fish, which is prominent in Australia and in New Zealand. You get it sometimes here, but, you know, it's a fish you don't see here in the markets, and if you do, it's just filleted. But the whole fish of the John Dory with that block, black round circle at its center, I always found it to be fascinating, and I loved the texture of that fish. I mean, I love sushi, even though there's mercury and worms in those fish. I don't eat swordfish because swordfish is very prominent that way. So is tuna, all those deep fish. Always eat fish, so I try to eat fish that don't have scales to it, that have scales.
All right, yeah. Yeah.
Because as a young boy, when I was raised in Australia, my father always told me how to look at fish by lifting the gills, knowing how fresh they were, or by the way, the eye was swollen or round or sunken. And so fish have always been part of my diet. And so I love all kinds of fish. I just don't like the deep sea fish like tuna and swordfish. But, you know, I like the New Zealand flounder. I like fish like that you can. I like fish served whole.
Oh, I was told by some guy that was in New England, when I think it was up in Massachusetts or something, when they catch the lobsters. And they said, if you ever go to order a lobster, don't ever purchase a lobster that had sleepy eyes, because they don't taste as good as, I guess, what would be the wide awake eyes? I don't know. I never...
All that knowledge that comes from people who live in that life is so important, because when I go to markets and like I go to Whole Foods and I'll say, I'd like, can you lift the gill of that fish? And he says, what for? So I realize the person selling the fish doesn't know what he's selling. But real fishermen will lift the gill up and show you how red it is under there, which means it's fresh. The darker the color, the fresher the fish, and if it's pink, then you say no, because it's at least a few days old. So the life of the fish for me has always been important. So I love when people go fishing and bring fresh fish, and sometimes when my father used to catch octopus, I used to love and watch him, you know, splattered across the rocks in Sydney, Australia, at the beaches, and but he tenderized it, and then he would hang it on the line for 3 weeks until it dried, and then barbecue it.
Oh, yeah, very, very, very good choice. I've had French fried octopus when I was in Naples, Italy, back in the 60s when I was in the Navy. And it was like 3 o'clock in the morning. I didn't realize I was eating French fried octopus because they told me I was having French fries. So.
The best octopus I've ever had is in Mykonos in Greece. Oh, my God, I've never had octopus like that. The way they grill it, I mean, they burn it, basically, because, you know, the octopus doesn't have blood. That's why they can hang it on the line and not worry about it rotting. So,
it's so good. It's so good, Tail, because I was in the Isle of Crete for, like, a three-week advanced thing way back in, 67. And there was something going on, you know, with Crete and the Turks, I believe, at the time, but... We had an advanced naval air station set up over there on the Isle of Crete. And the 3 weeks that I was there, I got to enjoy a lot of the Greek food. Oh, my God, is that good.
Yeah, it's healthy food. You know, that's why they don't have a lot of heart problems over there. A lot of the food is, they use olive. So, anyway, listen, it was lovely talking to you, and thank you for bringing a little testosterone to this subject.
Well, thank you for taking the time, Tail, and I don't want to take your time away from the ladies. I guess I got one more caller, so enjoy it, and I enjoy listening to you, Tail.
Thank you, and keep the wonderful lady Jan you have She's a very provocative creature. You must have fun.
she keeps me in line.
Remind her you're the fisherman.
Take care of yourself, Dale.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling, Perry.
Thank you.
Thanks,
bye, Perry.
Bye, Perry.
Bye.
Okay, last call. Sabina just wanted to say goodbye. Sabina?
Okay.
Yeah, Tao, I kind of didn't get a proper goodbye from you, so I wanted to say goodbye. And I just wanted to let you know that I really appreciate you being so wonderful with your fans, and I love being able to tweet with you, and getting a chance to talk to you on the phone right now is awesome. And the next best thing would be meeting you in person, so I look forward to that one day as well.
Oh, I hope so. Thank you very much. It was nice, and thank you for coming back to say goodbye.
And thank you. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye. Thanks, Sabina.
Bye.
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 Wow, that was long.
Yeah.
That was.
I bet you're really hungry now, Tao.
Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Did we work up your appetite?
What's for dinner?
I'm just going to have some salmon over salad.
Oh.
Real salmon over salad.
Oh,
well, so how was it?
This is, you're lovely. Everybody's enjoying this.
Oh.
It's so nice.
Yeah, you
Crystal,
are.
Yeah. Oh,
well.
Fun.
You're always
we learned
a
lot.
Always,
yes. Always a treat,
yeah.
Yes. We learned a lot. Oh, my. Yes.
You're such a natural teacher.
Yeah.
I can hardly wait to read your book and read, you know, anything you have that you want to share. You know, you have that spirit about you of wanting to share and wanting to teach and, you know, pass on the experiences that you've had through your lens onto others. And I just think that's great.
You know what I think it is, too, as I've gotten older? Something changes in your tone. So that when you say something, if people don't trust it, they will back off or they will shut down. But if they trust your tone because something about the sound of the voice makes them feel comfortable or it makes them feel truthful, then you respond. And I think that's always the art of communicating, is to make sure people are getting the truth about what it is they're asking. And people are very smart. They know when someone is bullshitting or if someone is not
yeah.
really knowing
right.
what they're saying.
Now, authenticity is important, and you're definitely authentic.
Oh, you definitely convey that.
Oh, honey, it's so tough.
So tough.
Oh, my God, I used to get into so much trouble telling people what I thought the truth was. Boy, I stirred on
oh,
a lot
Oh, I know. You got in a lot of trouble.
Okay. Wait, listen, it was nice. I'm going to go and eat.
All right. Could you do one thing for me real quick? Could you just say my name, like Anna and Anna, just for me one more time?
Anna and Anna?
Tony.
You mean
yeah,
Anna
and
Anna?
Anna and Anna.
And Tony and Andre would say Anna or Anna.
Oh,
Andre, if he was going to say Anna, he would say Anna.
Yes.
All right.
That's what I...
It's Anna all the way. And then Tony
oh.
would come... No. It's not. It's Anna.
Oh, bud. That never gets old. I just want you to know. That never gets old. Thank you, Tao.
I just have one quick question, Tao, real quick. Today's Friday the 13th. Are you suspicious? How would you feel about that? You know how people are always suspicious of Friday the 13th? Is that a good number for you?
When is that? Is it on this weekend?
It's today.
Today's
the interview, Friday the 13th.
Well,
you weren't suspicious of having the interview today? Like, you know, how you with numerology and numbers?
Suspicious I am.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't make a difference. I didn't even know what date it was.
There you go.
And now
there
that
you
it
go.
Is, I just think, you know, numbers are I mean, even though numbers have vibrations, I'm...
Mm-hmm.
thought of it that way, and when it does come up, I always think of like Halloween. It's where people get dressed up and have those voodoo things, experiences.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I just think it's a myth
okay.
that people created. or something happened terrible on the 13th, and then that became
a world. Yeah, the Knights of Templar got wiped out by the Catholic Church on Friday the 13th. That's where it started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so no, I think we all did well tonight, and I think, you know, part of it was a lot of it was enjoyed everyone.
Oh, Blair, hearing from you.
Oh yes, everybody was happy to talk to you.
Yeah, that was nice. Even Rick.
Oh,
even
hi.
Rick.
Yeah.
Oh, Rick.
Rick
was
great.
Oh, Rick. He's always about bravado.
Yes.
You know.
You got to keep him in line, Teo.
There you go.
I mean, imagine me becoming a priest so I could marry those two.
Oh, yeah, really.
Oh, my God. They've asked me, you know, about coming over and what would it cost for me to be a priest. You know. Anyway, nice to talk to you. Have a lovely evening, what's left of it, and I'll speak to you later.
Okay,
thank
enjoy
you.
Your dinner.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye,
really
Teo. Talk
it.
Later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.